Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You know what's really interesting listening to that music intro is that my next guest was not born when that album came out. In fact, I'm not even sure if he knows of this group. It's called the Beatles. Maybe you've heard of it, Zach. You'll tell me later, I suppose.
Were they a spinoff of
Wings?
Green Day or something?
Yeah,
or?
Exactly. I remember when I heard somebody say that, the Beatles, isn't that the group that Paul McCartney was in before Wings? I just love that stuff. My next guest is a dad. He is the 8-Bit Dad, and his name is Zach Rosenberg. He is co-founder of 8BitDad.com. That's 8, the number 8, BitDad.com, a site for real fatherly opinions about parenthood news, web trends, and other father-conscious advertising, or dadvertising, as Zach has told me is one of the great tag words to use. He is a father's advocate as well as a devil's advocate, and if you diss dads, you should expect a call from he and the 8-Bit Dad crew. Welcome to my show, Zach.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is a pleasure. What Zach did on our drive up is remind me exactly how old I am and how young he is. Thank you very much for making me feel like your grandpa. We are generationally slightly apart, but that led to a great discussion about TV dads throughout the last few decades.
Definitely.
And you made a really good point. I was saying that the last good TV dad that I could think of was Bill Cosby, Cliff Huxtable, mm-hmm. on The Bill Cosby Show. And you kind of went on to not only disagree with me, but talk about some others. So I'd love you to share that.
Definitely. You know, whatever father website you're looking at, everyone has done stories about TV fathers. And Cliff Huxtable and The Cosby Show comes up on every single story, and everyone says that he was a great TV father, and primarily because, in short, he was. The short answer is he was, and the long answer is he wasn't. And really, it wasn't necessarily anything that he did, but it was because of his family's reaction to him.
Well, he didn't do much. He sat on a couch and made quips.
And he was a doctor.
He was busy all the time, and he was on call.
I mean, he delivered.
Because he was a pediatrician.
He delivered babies and somehow was not smart enough to call a plumber when the pipes were broken or to not eat the sandwich that he wanted to eat every episode when his wife, Claire, who was a great image of a strong, independent black woman in a time when there were not a lot of those on TV.
No, but what was great about that, by the way, is there was nothing about that family that had anything to do with being black. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved. Mm-hmm. They just were a good family who
Although,
happened to be black.
They snuck it in and kind of the little things that if you were attuned to it, you would notice things like the big jazz music influences, the neighborhood, but you didn't get an overwhelming sense that if you weren't black, you couldn't watch
Sanford
the show.
It wasn't Sanford and Son, in other words.
Exactly. And nothing wrong with those shows, but
there was
no alienation of anyone,
exactly.
any group of people on that show, which was amazing for that time and for everyone watching. You didn't me as a white child, which again, that's our generation gap. As I was like in fourth grade when I was watching this show. I didn't feel alienated that I was watching.
I was over 30.
I didn't feel alienated that I was watching a show that had primarily black characters. And when you looked at the kids' friends, Rudy's friends, mm-hmm. there were white kids, there were black kids, there were Asians. They had every group represented really well on that show.
And it was much more organic than I
and it
than
wasn't
forced.
And it wasn't heavy-handed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But go on with the other TV dads we were talking about.
You know,
and in particular, you brought up Tim Allen, who I thought was a great example of one who is similar in ways to the good and the bad of what Bill Cosby was.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Allen, what was that show?
Home Improvement.
Right.
Now, in October of 2010, yes, 8-Bit Dad has been around that long, 2 years. we had mentioned, done an article called Real Television Fathers, Where Have You Been? And you can search for that on our site. But we had mentioned a lot of these topics. Tim Allen on Home Improvement. Ray Romano and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay, but let's talk about those two.
What
was it about Tim that you told me in the car? Not Tim Allen. What was the character's name? I forgot.
Tim Taylor.
Tim Taylor. what was – you said – and you reminded me that in many ways he was a lovable doofus.
Mm-hmm. He was Cliff Huxtable.
Right.
Except for blue-collar white people in Michigan. basically.
Meaning that he
was very into his job, but and that was maybe the way that he wasn't like Cliff Huxtable was. You know, they were both into their jobs, but Tim Taylor would kind of escape his family to go to his job. Mm. Then he would learn about something on his job that then he would carry over to parenting, or he would hear it from his neighbor who you never saw his face.
So he would literally and figuratively use his tools,
yes,
to fix his kids.
And not, you know, not without a fight from his wife. His wife would drag him through these fatherhood topics and tell him, sit down and
meaning
tell your sons
fight, meaning
something.
Getting him involved where, yes, he was otherwise reluctant, which of, mm-hmm, course is the problem of past parental.
He would rather go work on his cars than work on his kids. Mm-hmm. And when he was forced to, he would screw it up. And then the mom would say, you know, Tim, you've really got to think this thing through before you screw your kids up.
And so of course, it always had a happy ending, and in the end, he'd do the right thing. But he needed mom to guide him through.
Or the neighbor who had no kids.
That's right.
So someone would have to drag him through fatherhood, which was the same thing as Ray Romano and Everybody Loves Raymond. He was a sports writer. I mean, we're talking writers who are supposed to be like the pinnacle of genius, and I'm not biased being a writer by saying that. But the writers are supposed to be...
Well, I'm biased. We are geniuses.
Writers are supposed to be intelligent guys who are able to talk on a series of topics, and this guy could not find his way around the parenting sphere. And being a writer, he somehow was not able to find other resources to teach him about parenting. So his wife, again, played by Patricia Heaton, she had to drag him through fatherhood and tell him, sit down with the kids and tell them what to do and what not to do.
Wow.
He was governed by his mom, who he was completely subservient to, and his mom and his wife would take turns basically telling him what to tell the kids. So we ran into this generation of really weak fathers that were forced to be parents. And that was coming out of a generation of fathers who we saw in really different lights. We had the really bad fathers that you had mentioned on the ride up, like Al Bundy and Homer Simpson.
Right.
But we also had a lot of really interesting families that we didn't talk about.
Well, let's go back, though. See, the dads that I grew up with,
mm-hmm,
way before you were born.
Yeah, I never saw those.
Were Ward Cleaver. Uh-huh. This was black and white. You might know that there was something called black and white television before color.
I thought the world was just black and white back then.
No. It's black and white television. There was Ward Cleaver. There was what's his first name? Ben Cartwright,
mm-hmm,
from Bonanza. And there was Fred McMurray in My Three Sons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that's so interesting about all those dads is particularly Ward Cleaver and Fred McMurray. Fred McMurray wasn't the dad.
Mm-hmm.
He just sat around and dispensed wisdom. William Demarest was the character. He was the uncle or the brother. I forgot who it was. He was the nanny, in essence, who did the parenting, while Fred McMurray did Cliff Huxtable, in essence. Ward Cleaver just sat around while his wife, June Cleaver, who was my mother's name, June, did the parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in Bonanza, it was a whole different sort of thing, but it was very interesting in the sense that he was a widower,
mm-hmm,
and he basically raised his kids to learn how to shoot guns.
Mm-hmm.
It was more than that. I mean, Ben Cartwright and Bonanza was a classic show, but it was quite unusual for the time to have, mm-hmm, in essence, a single father raising three grown boys. They were men, so I don't know what they would have done if they were boys. We're nearly out of time. What else would you like to add before this segment ends, Zach?
Gosh, you know, there's just so much to talk to. Check out 8bitdad.com and look for Television Fathers, and you can read a great article. I'm biased again, but a great article about TV fathers.
Okay, that's 8bitdad.com. That's 8, the number 8, bitdad.com. Zach and his partner Brian also do a podcast, which you can find there. And we will have Zach on again, if not possibly later in the show, depending on how time works out.
Perfect.
It is time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen or email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N. We'll be back after these messages. I said you're on, buddy, mom, feels really fine. Let's come off the line now at sunset and vine. But I'll go you one better if you've got the nerve. Let's race all the way to Dead Man's Dead Man.